Welcome to The Forest and the Trees, Global and Local Perspectives on the Environment, with your host, Melinda Tuhus. So here I am on the banks of the Quinnipiac River, and it's pretty windy, but hopefully this will all work out. And I have two guests with me, two young men who are members of Sunrise New Haven. And I am going to get right into it and let them talk a little bit more about the movement. Locally and also a little bit nationally, because it is a national movement. So I have Sam Zacher, who is a grad student at Yale, and I have Dave Cruz Bustamante, who is a high school student at Wilbur Cross, one of the main schools in New Haven. So I'm just going to start with some general questions and ask what is the Sunrise Movement, just very sort of brief history. How it started, and that sort of at the national level, and then we'll get down to local. And this is Sam.
Hey, Melinda. Thanks for having us today. Sunrise Movement got started nationally in 2018. It really launched with a sit-in in Nancy Pelosi's office. And the main impetus behind the launch of the Sunrise Movement was that the state of climate politics at that point was really not adequate. And a group of young people, a small group at that time, which has grown a lot by now, they looked out and they saw politicians and solutions that were really not adequate enough to address the climate crisis, and frankly, associated injustices like economic inequality, racial inequality. And they came together wanting to build a grassroots movement of young people specifically to fight for solutions that are really about climate justice, that are intersectional and they're about power and redistribution on a broad scale, not just about tweaks here and there to emissions levels, which were the existing solutions being talked about.
That got a lot of press, partly because the newly elected Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dropped in and encouraged them. So, and locally, there's been organizing going on for a while in New Haven. And I always think of it, I was involved in at least one of the big protests in D.C. where the Kentucky delegation led, a sit-in in Mitch McConnell's office, and there were hundreds of us lining both sides of the corridor. It was so thrilling. I always, at least in that group, I always think of Sunrise as being sort of a 20-something movement, mostly. Although, I'm sort of a hanger-on. I'm not 20-something. But also, there are younger people, high school age people, like Dave. So, Dave, tell me about your involvement with the local group, how you got involved in, and why.
Well, I had a friend named Ella who also went to Wilbur Cross, and I remember attending a climate strike that happened in 2018, I believe, 2019. And at that point, I think it was May, like it was summer was coming, and George Floyd was recently unjustly killed. So I kind of had a lot of anger, and after that incident, I kind of opened my eyes and saw that it was obvious that the politicians in D.C. weren't capable of handling the crises that we have right now. And so I kind of took advantage of that anger and I asked Ella, how could I get involved with the group that you're in, Sunrise? So, I got in the Slack, I took on some projects, and from there I went to other orgs as well. That's mostly how I got involved. Yeah.
Okay. So just a question for you. You said you were very angry when, George Floyd was killed and you saw what was going on. And you're a young man of color, so I'm just curious why you just chose to focus on Sunrise and maybe not, Black Lives Matter or, a Latino Latinx group that might have been working on those issues. Do you have a thought about that?
Yeah. It was, frankly, just I didn't know any other groups, and I knew my friend Ella had a connection to Sunrise, and I know I was also passionate about, the climate crisis, and I knew that from there I would be able to get connected to different mutual aid groups and other movements for Black lives. But it was frankly just because I didn't know any other thing. You know, I was in middle school, so I wasn't really... I mean, I did pay attention, I watched news, but I wasn't really focused on local issues as well. So I knew that my friend Ella, you know, she had that connection, might have as well taken advantage of it to get somewhere. So Sunrise New Haven was like a starting point for me, and I still organize there, but luckily it's also pushed me to other orgs that also focus on the movement for Black Lives. Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 14. I'm a freshman in Wilbur Cross.
Okay. I didn't realize you were just out of middle school. Well, that's awesome. So actually, that's one of my other questions, intersectionality. So you said you've gotten involved through Sunrise with other groups. I know that Sunrise did a lot, has continued, I guess, but especially around Earth Day, you were doing a lot of organizing to put together an event for Earth Day, a virtual event on Zoom. And you really brought in a lot of different, you know, players and groups. So I know, Sam, you were all involved in that. Can talk about kind of what that was like, who was involved and why you did that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll go back, I guess, to the launch of Sunrise and the Green New Deal as this new kind of political project that it carries with it this theory of change that says we who are fighting for one issue will never win on our own. And we need to join forces with those fighting against very similar issues that we're really all fighting against the same balance of power, which is a small group of people in this country have a lot of money and a lot of political power, and we need to all take them down. So Sunrise New Haven has taken that and our work on the Green New Deal. One thing we've tried to do locally is build relationships with other groups who might be fighting primarily for economic justice, labor justice, racial justice, immigration justice. And we've tried to show them that we also care about your fight, your struggle. We're going to show up for you. And we also want to invite you into the environmental justice, climate justice movement. So one thing we've tried to do is hold direct actions that used to be in person, but these days sometimes are on Zoom, or at least you're referring to the 2020 Earth Day Zoom rally. And what we really tried to do was showcase what a broad array of groups who are working on all these different kinds of injustices, what it looks like when they all get together and share their own messages, but also within this general framework of the Green New Deal. So we had a few groups that focused on economic justice, some local unions and New Haven Rising, a community group. We had a couple groups that focus primarily on racial justice. So Black Lives Matter New Haven spoke, and NAACP of Greater New Haven spoke. We had a couple other groups who focus on different issues, but also under the Green New Deal umbrella. So Democratic Socialists of America also spoke, and then some other climate groups, the New Haven Climate Movement, and the Endowment Justice Coalition, which started primarily as a climate justice group and focuses broadly on issues of justice within the Yale investment world. And we thought it was fantastic to see a bunch of groups coming together under a very similar message. And we think we still have a long ways to go. We're still always trying to enhance our partnerships within the broader grassroots left justice-focused community. And we think there's a whole lot of potential there.
I'm speaking with Sam Zacher and Dave Cruz Bustamante, who are members of New Haven, Sunrise New Haven. Yeah, I wanted to ask, it seemed like, and I know that you organized like a pretty intensive study or workshop, I'm not sure what you called it, that was led by one of the leaders of New Haven, Black Lives Matter, and I was on part of that. So that was like, I guess it was three Sundays, 4 hours at a time. So it was a pretty big commitment. What do you think that made any kind of a lasting impact or had some move the needle in terms of what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, that's a great question. What you're referring to was specifically an anti-racist training. Sunrise is still a pretty white organization nationally and locally, and our focus is on recruiting a diverse movement, both by race and class background. And Sunrise focuses its general theory of change on a lot of trainings for people who come into the movement. So that was an example of a training that made everyone in Sunrise really try to understand what structural racism is. And Allah from Black Lives Matter New Haven led the training. And I think it did have a positive effect, for sure. It made a lot of folks in Sunrise think about race and structures too, economic and political racist structures in our society. And I think we're still on a path. I think people have opened their eyes and understood how we are fighting along similar lines of other movements for justice. And I think we'll continue to do trainings like that to get everyone in the climate movement and climate justice movement to think more broadly about how all these issues overlap. I'd be curious, Dave, what you think about all these efforts too.
Yeah, you know, like, I like the Sunrise especially focuses on learning and talking to others and learning from others. And especially in that instance, you know, talking about privilege and class and race, it's also important to have those conversations, even when they might be uncomfortable. And educating ourselves on the privileges that we have, right? That Sunrise nationally and locally has, and also finding out how to leverage that privilege as well to get others included, because when people aren't included, the movement doesn't work, right? Because you're not getting those perspectives and those different opinions and those different lived experiences from people of color, working class people, poor people, etc. So yeah, we're definitely still focusing on that, which I'm really excited to do. You know, getting new opinions, new perspectives is also very important. Yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
So I guess maybe a lot of movements, but the climate movement in particular seems to get younger and younger. There was a 9-year-old girl at one of the big rallies in Hartford. It was really amazing. You know, just got up the mic and gave this great speech, and it was really quite powerful. So what do you think that youth in particular have to bring to this movement that you know, puts them out front and really makes them, creates these leaders and makes them, you know, sort of leading the movement?
I'd say idealism and optimism and just having those more youth and those more youthful voices gives new perspectives to the movement as well. As you can tell, I love the word perspectives. But we often see, especially in our government, you know, in a national government, when it's just older people ruling the government, they're often more jaded. You know, they don't want to focus on these issues that might solve what a lot of Americans are experiencing. And having a more younger movement values those more optimistic, those more idealistic values, and also focuses on more of like, we can do it if, you know, if we have the power. Meanwhile, like, again, like the government, you always see, oh, it's too expensive, it's too big, it's too radical. Well, when you have more younger voices, they're not really focusing on that, because we know what is possible. And we know that we can accomplish that if we really try hard enough, if we really build that people power and educate ourselves on that. So that's also why I really liked Sunrise Movement, because it was more youth-based compared to traditional environmentalist groups, you know, that focus, like Sam said, cutting emissions, traditional environmentalist policies, and really focus more on how can we make life better for all Americans, for all people that live in the United States, and not, you know, just a better life for privileged white people.
So did you have any experience like doing public speaking before you got involved in Sunrise?
Not really. Just mostly in my school, you know, like student government, you know, internal kind of structures, but never out in public, never in organizations like Sunrise Movement.
Well, you seem to be doing very well at doing it. What do your classmates think about your, do they know about your involvement, and what do they think? Are they interested, or do they think you're kind of weird?
You know, the school year just started, so I don't really know a lot of people there. But some people are aware that at my school, at least, you know, upperclassmen, lowerclassmen, they do know that I'm in the movement. I know yesterday at the Hubwide meeting, there was this one person in the breakout room, and they're like, oh my God, you're a freshman at Wilbur Cross. So I guess some people might view it as strange, you know, oh, you're too young for politics, or why do you care? But it's something that I'm really passionate about. And the majority of kids, of my fellow classmates, are interested in that sort of thing. They just don't know where to find these organizations, you know? I think that's where a lot of the struggle lays too. You know, they're not very visible if you're not familiar with politics and with this political jargon, you know. But yeah, I'd say that a lot of my classmates are especially interested in the climate crisis and learning more about it. Because I know, for example, school doesn't give a comprehensive climate education. It's just recycle, you know, take out the trash. Again, traditional environmentalist policies like save energy, turn off the lights when you leave the room, or global warming, you know, portraying it as global warming is affecting the polar ice caps and not climate change is intensifying these hurricanes and these natural disasters that are leaving us without infrastructure, you know? So yeah, they're very interested in educating themselves on that and getting involved as well.
I'd just love to add that Dave has been such a powerful force within Sunrise New Haven as a high schooler and has become a tremendous organizer so far. But I think two broader things about Sunrise, which is Dave is someone who joined the climate justice movement only in the last year or so. And the power of Sunrise is not just to build more political power generally, but to be a movement where young people can engage politically. And think of how many other folks in their teens and 20s like us are out there who haven't connected to politics, who have political opinions or may have had experiences in this rigged economy, see the climate crisis going on and on. And Sunrise Movement is one of many groups that tries to exist to pull these people in. And we're only going to win when young people join together and stand up. And one last thought on that is that another political potential of Sunrise is to stand up and say there's a lot of political inequality in this country too, specifically in that young people who don't turn out to vote, or maybe the voting age could be lower, but also that a lot of information and political opinions we assume are in the heads and in the hands of older people, and we think that's not right. And we wanna show the world, frankly, that young people have the potential for political transformation.
And that was another question I wanted to ask. It was about voting and about being involved in the political process. It seemed to me that nationally, at least, you know, Sunrise is pretty electorally focused, talking about, you know, getting Green New Deal, which we want to talk more about the Green New Deal, too. But would you agree that nationally they have more of an electoral focus? And then what about locally? Because I know you've done some things there, too.
Yeah, another great question for sure. I mean, Sunrise is trying to be an innovative social movement like other movements that exist today, and it tries to engage on the traditional social movement front of protests and bring in people to meetings and groups, but also engage electorally. And recently, I think nationally, it seems like Sunrise is very focused electorally, which is true, but by no means does that mean that the movement has forgotten about direct actions and recruiting people and growing the movement. So there's definitely been an electoral focus. But I think that's because of the timing, that the elections are happening now. And Sunrise knows that when elections aren't happening, we have to focus on actions and bringing people in so that we can use this kind of power electorally. And nationally, Sunrise is focused on getting rid of Trump and electing a lot of Green New Deal champions congressionally. And locally, we've engaged to some degree, too. We made an endorsement in the primary for Justin Farmer's state Senate candidacy. It was a very inspiring run in the primary election. And now we're going to be engaging. And we have engaged a little bit with voter registration and potentially working to try to elect some general election candidates in the area for state legislative office, too, that can be Green New Deal leaders.
I'm speaking with Sam Zacher and Dave Cruz Bustamante, who are members of New Haven, Sunrise New Haven, which is a youth-led and mostly youth-comprised organization. Actually, I have a question for you, Sam, about the age. I understand that there's actually a category for people who are over 35. I don't know if there's a different category for people that are 35 times two, but just say, I mean, I've been involved in various things, and I have always felt totally welcomed. It's been really terrific. And I love, one of the things I love about Sunrise is that you really take time to get to know each other, to talk about personal issues, like how you're feeling about everything, which is, you know, what a year this has been. So how do older people over 35, how can they relate to Sunrise?
Yeah, another great question. So Sunrise exists and wants to bring in everyone possible, but the reason it was launched was to create a force of young people leading this portion of the climate justice movement. So as you mentioned, there's a role for a supporter and a member and participant for folks over 35, but Sunrise exists really for leadership positions to be filled by younger folks in their teens, 20s, even early 30s. And in general, it seems to work pretty well. It brings in a lot of young people. I'm happy to hear you've always felt very welcome. I know that in Sunrise, in general, occasionally it hasn't been a seamless communication of this kind of policy and thinking to older folks who might want to join. And it's unfortunate, but I think it's Sunrise was created to try to, looking at the environmental movement and seeing a very older bent, and it really just wanted to fill a gap, and I think it's done a pretty good job of that so far.
So, Dave, you had said that through Sunrise you got involved in some other things as well, and I know you've been pretty involved in New Haven Rising, haven't you? And just, if you want to, just say a little bit more about what that is.
I've been involved in some actions from New Haven Rising. I believe it's like a general advocacy group. I know recently they've been focusing on the Yale Fair Share campaign coalition. Basically to get Yale to pay its taxes, you know. They have their university and their hospital built here. They own a lot of downtown, and we see like a lot of gentrification there, and that they're not paying their taxes, you know, which honestly still kind of surprises me, even no matter how many times I repeat it. But they're evading a lot of taxes that can go towards our youth and towards our school and towards our infrastructure. I've been involved in actions with New Haven Rising, but not exactly like what you might call like organizing, like part of the core organizing team. Some other groups I've been involved with like include Samia Collective, a mutual aid organization, definitely getting that praxis in, you know, implementing and actually practicing those socialist values of helping one another and them helping you. Also Citywide Youth Coalition, which focuses on local New Haven issues. It's also mostly youth-based, and its membership is also made up mostly of youth. So Sunrise, Samia Collective, some actions here and there from different groups like Yale Fair Share, New Haven Rising, and Citywide Youth Coalition.
Lots of good groups. One thing, you know, Yale, universities in general are considered nonprofits and they are tax exempt. But Yale, apparently, I haven't researched this myself, but I've heard that there's a specific law, Connecticut law, just for Yale to make them, you know, exempt from taxes. So, I mean, you know, that if they have businesses that are connected with Yale, that they have to pay taxes on those. But, you know, the teaching part, which is their main thing, I guess. So we have a little bit of time left. I want to talk a little more about the Green New Deal. So, who wants to start? Do you want to? Okay. So yeah, you've got, it's too bad it's radio. I mean, radio's great. I love radio, but you can't see that Dave is wearing a lovely face covering that says Green New Deal and their logo. So yeah. So, tell us about the Green New Deal, Dave.
Yeah. So from what I've researched so far, the Green New Deal, was a federal, not exactly a bill, but a plan acknowledging that there is a climate crisis. I believe it was introduced by AOC and co-sponsored by a bunch of other progressive candidates, which we love. But it mostly just addresses and acknowledges the issue that we have a climate crisis and kind of gives some goals that we need to achieve so that we can take care of it, you know? So that might include like going to completely clean energy by 2030, I believe. Cutting down to, forgot the exact percentage of emissions, like 0% emissions, providing public transportation, quality public transportation, quality affordable housing, that's also energy efficient, federal jobs guarantee for, you know, for the people who are also mostly people of color who might lose their jobs from these factories and these coal factories being shut down. And, you know, educating them and moving them to more clean energy jobs. So federal jobs guarantee. And I believe there's some other components that I might be missing out, if Sam would like to elaborate.
There's one I can think of. It's sort of a big one.
Sam? Well, what a leading question there, Melinda. Yeah, everything Dave said is great. When I think of the Green New Deal, I think at its core it tries to tie climate justice with economic justice and racial justice. And it does so through massive investments by government institutions and even other institutions in jobs, first and foremost. And what those jobs do are things that will all be better for our collective well-being. It could be housing, affordable housing, better and more transit, could be more sustainable agriculture. more renewable energy production infrastructure very generally. And I'll be curious what do you think, Melinda, what you were going to add on?
Isn't Medicare for All part of it?
Thank you for adding that in too. Yeah, I mean, one thing about the Green New Deal is that it started as a resolution, which is only 14 pages or so, and it's really just a framework that tries to tie all these issues together. The Green New Deal is not one thing, but rather it is what it will become through all these political fights. So all of us, many of us in the climate justice movement care a lot about healthcare and healthcare justice. So Medicare for All is something that we also try to fight for. And there's certainly an open question of how much can all of our movements come together and pass things at the federal, state, local level that will tie all these together. And so that's certainly what we're aiming for.
And Sam brought up a good point that it is just like a 14-page resolution. So I almost always laugh whenever people are like, oh, it's too radical, it's too left, it's too expensive, when it doesn't really state that it's going to do anything or implement something right now. Like Sam said, it's mostly a framework. And I believe it's not something that we haven't done. I mean, we've seen the New Deal being passed by FDR, I believe. That's mostly helped, again, white, rich, privileged people. But all of a sudden, when the Green New Deal is targeting environmental injustice, economic injustice, especially around like people of color, for example, all of a sudden it kind of becomes a big, contentious, and controversial issue, which is what I brought up last time too, the last point, where the good thing about having youth is that they bring more perspectives and more of a yes, we can attitude than these attitudes that we see in our current government, where they're not really dreaming up of any policies that'll help address the grievances of the American people and are mostly just want to rely on the status quo, which is also upsetting.
If I can add one last thing into the Green New Deal, one thing it also tries to insert into this policy conversation is a commitment to democracy and not being technocratic or elitist and having politicians pass things that the people may or may not want. And we in the climate justice movement, especially locally, we want to make sure we're always respecting what communities want. So we are never going to prescribe policies for someone else, but rather we want to fight for a Green New Deal that allows for democratic decisions. It could be participatory budgeting at the local level, but whatever it is, it's pathways for democratic decisions where communities decide how they want this money spent. We're fighting for more investments in more places for more people, and we want to leave it open to what communities want specifically.
I think that's where we'll call it. We've just almost just run out of time. I want to thank my guests. This was really great. What a fun thing to do, standing out by the Quinnipiac River on a gorgeous fall day. I see a whole bunch of geese like floating down the river. So we've been talking to Sam Zacher and Dave Cruz Bustamante, who are members of Sunrise New Haven. I want to thank you guys both for being on, especially outdoors. You've been listening to The Forest and the Trees, Global and Local Perspectives on the Environment, with your host, Melinda Tuhus. Tune in on the second Saturday of every month at 9:30 a.m. here at WPKN 89.5 FM for more environmental news you can use.